It's the 24th of November 2009, and we've gathered here this morning in the home of Peter Ford, who's kindly agreed to be interviewed. This is Malcolm King speaking from the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project, and I'm accompanied by
John Fairs.
So, good morning, Peter.
Morning to you. A rough old morning.
It is indeed a bit blowy out there, but it's very nice in here.
Yeah.
Were you born into a rugby family, Peter?
Well, yes, I suppose so, in a way. My uncle played for Gloucester and Coventry in Warwickshire, and my cousin Harold Boughton played for Gloucester. So, a little bit, yes.
So you went to watch Gloucester at an early age, did you?
Yes, I did. My first recollection of a game at King's Holm was a wartime international, the Kiwis against, I believe it was a services side. Yeah. And Bledden Williams played in the centre for the services, who later I played against and got to know as a quite a good friend who died recently.
And where were you at school? Was that in Gloucester?
Went to Central School in Gloucester, in the senior school. Played for the school side, but just an ordinary player. Yeah. And then joined the Gordon League at a local club. Played there for three or four years. Enjoyed it very much there, and became from a very poor side to quite a successful side.
And of course, there's a long history of Gordon League feeding players into Gloucester.
Yes, and then I was probably about 17, decided to try my hand at Gloucester. Had a trial at the beginning of the season. Now, it used to happen, the local lads used to go and were invited, you know, to a trial match, play. I was picked for the Gloucester United side. Played at Bream, I think it was, the first game for Gloucester United. And then on the following Wednesday or Thursday, Gloucester were playing Stroud, and they decided to rest some of the senior players, and I was picked in the Gloucester side. And more or less stayed in the side from then on.
That would be 1951, Peter?
That would be 51, yeah, 1951, yeah, yeah.
That must be just about the shortest apprenticeship in the United ever.
Well, yeah, probably. You know, I mean, to me, I was the tallest, the biggest, the most famous man in Gloucester that day when I was picked to play. I mean, it was an achievement. And I can remember a little bit later on your 13th game for Gloucester, you were given a club tie. Well, my 13th game was against Coventry on King's Holm. I had my tie, and I'm the proudest man in Gloucester. And on your 21st game, you were allowed to have a club badge to wear on a blazer. And on my 21st game, I had my club badge on, had it stitched on that day kind of thing, and Saturday night walked around town showing my chest, my badge on, my blazer, and I was the kiddie, like.
And Gloucester rugby's been in your blood ever since.
Well, yeah, I've been involved ever since. But they were wonderful days and proud days. We were proud to play for Gloucester.
Do you remember much of that first game for the club?
Yes, I can remember the game. I should have. We drew 6-6, I believe it was, at Stroud, which wasn't particularly good. I should have scored. I got made a break, went through. The captain, Jack Watkins, said, yes, he showed us. Well, I passed to him, and I should have went on to score, and he dropped the ball, but that's life.
Do you remember a game that season, Peter, where you were going up as a team to watch Bill Hook play in the international, and you dropped off at the Athletic Ground and played London Scottish?
Yes. I really can't remember the game at London Scottish, but I can remember going to the international, and Bill Hook played, and we stood in the crowd. And well, for me it was a big day, because, you know, going to the first international I'd been to, Gloucester player playing, and yeah, it was a great day.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed as well from the records I've been looking through, you had some extraordinarily successful spells. There were three successive weeks in October 1951, so pretty early in your career for the club, where you scored two tries one week against Old Pauline's, the only try of the match the following week against up at Birkenhead Park, and then try the following week against the Old Blues. No, you seem to have made quite an impact.
Well, probably Old Pauline's, Old Blues, were probably not the best team on the planet, but they were really great times, and you know, very proud to score. I can't remember that, but you know, I take your word for it. But as I say, they weren't the best teams.
Well, I think having scored 146 tries, I think it is for Gloucester, it's understandable you wouldn't remember every one.
Well, probably not. No.
When you first played for the club, did you have a particular mentor in the club who sort of brought you along?
No, things were much different then. Mm-hmm. The captain was the coach. There wasn't the number of coaches and things like that. Basically, you sorted yourself out. I think you improved as a player by playing against good players. You played against international players and you copied things they done or saw how they done it, and I think that's how you got your grounding. And you learned by playing against good players.
Yeah. And how much training did you do in that?
We used to train Tuesday and Thursday evenings. Training was nothing like now, because they're professional. We went to work, and life was different. When I say Tuesday and Thursday, later on, when floodlights became popular, we probably played Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So really, training was very minimal in that period, because if you're playing twice a week, really, you've got over the bumps and things like that. You don't want to train because you're tired.
And so who was your first captain?
Captain was Jack Watkins, a local policeman, who was often on point duty at the Cross. Visiting team would arrive in their coach, he would beckon them over the Cross, then whip off and come down and get changed and play. And that has happened on a number of times.
What sort of a captain and player was Jack Watkins?
Very good player, a leader from the front row, used to take the training, organise the training sessions. The captain in those days was the coach. He also had a great say in picking the side, and he would post a card on a Monday night when they picked the side, you know, to tell you were playing on a Saturday. It was all done by post. Sometimes we went by train. If we were going north, the coach would wait at the top of Worcester Street. There was very few people, well, no people had cars in those days. So you got into Gloucester by bus, we'd walk down to Worcester Street, get on the bus if we were going north. If we were going south, the bus always waited at the top of Commercial Road, and you'd make your way there and go south.
Yeah. Take us through the routine for a match day that you had, Peter.
Depending where it was, the London matches, we would assemble at the railway station. Train to London, off the train into the dining rooms at Paddington, have a meal. A coach would pick us up there and take us wherever in London, and then we had tickets to come back. Now, what train you caught back was up to you. Some people would stay, see the sights of London, and don't forget we're young lads, and some of us hadn't been to London before, and so some would catch the 1 o'clock train back, or some would guess perhaps a 7 o'clock train, in the evening. A big occasion. And we're talking about the early 50s, youth of today travels the world. London was an occasion.
Yeah.